Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hey, I want to ask you something that I think is triggering some thinking for you. And the question is, what are all the things that are negatively impacting affordability for us to invest or buy properties? And one of the things, and I want to point this out because I keep saying that we as investors are in a better position than anybody who wants to buy the same house because they want to live in the house. We are looking for 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath houses that are nicely renovated, or if we can afford it, also actually new build to rent houses that we can invest in so that we can provide that housing to a nice family in a nice neighborhood for a fair price. So that's basically the concept. And we have found out that in most cases, this only works in certain parts of the country. And that's why I always say our strategy is out of state, because the people that want to do these kinds of investments are people who have good income or run a small business that is making good profit. And to do that, in most cases, in the vast majority of cases, you live in areas where the performance of the properties is not good enough. It's not that it's totally bad or not performing at all, but it's not good enough. And so those few areas where the performance is great are not areas where the vast majority of people live. It's just a fact. It's just statistics. So when we're talking about affordability, then we used to have to compete. We as investors used to have to compete with people who wanted to have that same 3-bedroom, 2-bath, or 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house to live in it themselves. And one of the differences that existed was that for us as investors to buy a property, we typically for a single family home needed to put 20% of the purchase price down and get the remaining 80% as a loan. So on a $150,000 house, we had to put $30,000 down. On a $200,000 house, we had to put $40,000 down. Now, if you go to the home buyer who wants to buy it for themselves, especially when they were first-time home buyers, they could get mortgages with 3% down or 5% down. And just to make it easier for the calculation, you know, when we say we put 20% down, $30,000, and they put 5% down, then it basically a huge difference in down payment. And you would initially think there should be way more people who can afford a property for 5% down than us as investors for 20% down. And that used to be true. When we were trying to get investment properties, when mortgage interest rates were really low, and so affordability was much higher, we did not win the deal. Now, one of the things that has changed is obviously the interest rates. Overall, the prices of houses have gone up dramatically since before COVID started. And so basically, if you compare prices between 2019 and 2024, you wouldn't be surprised if you find lots and lots of properties who have increased in value by 50% in those few years, some even more. Now, most people's wages have not increased by 50% in the last 4 years, by the way. And I think you would all agree with that. But the other thing that is kind of an interesting dynamic that plays into affordability that not a lot of people think about is how do our communities actually benefit from home prices? And it's especially true for places like Texas and Florida that don't have income taxes. So you have to ask yourself, okay, they need to still maintain the whole government apparatus and all the different services that all the other states that, like, for example, Hawaii or California have, like, really high income taxes, like 13% on top of what you pay for federal income tax is state income tax, right? So some take like 10 or 12 or 13%, and some take nothing, like Florida and Texas. And then everybody else in between. Now, if you don't take any income tax, you have to have higher property taxes. And in most places, property taxes are around 2% of the value of the property. Now, in some states, like, for example, in California, they made a law that says when you start with a property tax, right? Let's say you have like a $500,000 house and property tax is 2%, so $10,000 a year. And I know for some of you that sounds insane, right? That's almost $1,000 a month. But that is not that uncommon in California. And $500,000 houses are not anything like mansions or stuff like that. They're very regular houses. So here we are, $500,000 house, $10,000 property tax. The law there says you cannot increase the property tax by more than 1.9% per year. So if you get into a house and you keep it for a long time, then your property taxes are just barely creeping up a little bit, right? So let's take a scenario. Somebody bought a house in California 20 years ago for $250,000 and had $5,000 property tax. And now 20 years later, they basically have something like $7,000 property tax, but the house, the $250,000 house, is now a $700,000 house. And you want to buy that. And that $700,000 house now jumps in property taxes to $14,000 and then starts increasing by 1.9%. So that's a huge jump that should be part of any calculation if you want to buy or invest in a property in those places. But it's true everywhere across the country. The 2% property tax is not that unusual. What is different between California in this case and most other places is that they don't have that law that says you can't increase it by more than 1.9%. What their laws typically say is we look at the value of the properties every so often, and if the value increased, then we reassess and apply our 2% property tax. And in the rare instance that the value goes down, we reassess and then the owner can ask for a lower property tax. Now we go back to what I said earlier, that between 2019 and 2024, a lot of properties pretty much across the board have gone up by 50% in value. So our $200,000 house is now worth $300,000. And if we bought that house for $200,000 and had 2% property tax, that's $4,000 a year. And now the county assessor's office comes along and says, okay, let me look at all these houses on this street, and every house went from 200,000 to 300,000. Let's say they built a whole neighborhood and they're all the exact same houses. They're all in the same neighborhood. They all increased by 50%. So now, instead of 1.9% increase like in California, they look at it and say, well, the house is worth 50% more, so we should also get those 50% more in property tax or that value increase. So your $300,000 house now costs you, instead of $4,000 a year, $6,000 a year. Why am I bringing this up? In the context of affordability. When a person looks at a house to say, okay, can I buy this house to move my family in? And property tax, they know this house, if I buy it, costs $400,000 or $300,000, like in our example. Then they also have to know the property tax payment that they see currently shown on Zillow, for example, or Redfin or Realtor.com, is the current property tax, the $4,000, from when the house was evaluated as costing $200,000. And we don't typically see that it says how long ago was the last evaluation, right? So it's very important to look, if my property tax increase is 50%, can I still afford it? Now, as investors, we have the benefit that we do these calculations upfront, and we don't look at the property tax as a number. We look at how much rent income do we have? How many expenses are against it? Are we positive cash flow? If the answer is no, we don't buy, right? But from an affordability aspect across the board, people looking to both invest for it or to want to buy it for their own use, you really need to look at when is most likely the next reset, the next evaluation, and what was the old value and what is the new value, because you can get surprised, right? If you have to basically pay $200 more per month, the jump from $4,000 to $6,000 property tax is around $200 per month. For us as investors, that may be the majority of the cash flow. If we find a property where we say we can make $300 cash flow from day one, And then 3 months later, the county comes along, resets the property taxes and takes $180, $190 of those $300, then the deal is not nearly as good anymore. That's why I pointed out to you, it's both for people who are contemplating, can I even afford this house? You need to look is what's going to happen with the property tax. And for us as investors, we need to find out when is the next reset and what will it most likely be if we buy this property at this price. And add that changed value into our calculation, because God forbid we don't want to get in a situation where we had, let's say, $200 positive cash flow and then the property tax adjusts and we have no cash flow anymore. Many, many people don't have that aspect of the reset of property taxes on their radar, especially when you come from a place where the law says it cannot be reset like that. You cannot just suddenly get a 50% jump. But the vast, vast majority of places around the country allow for that. So be prepared for that and add it into your calculations. That's it for today. I hope this was helpful. Be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.